Will you join me in the party pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the party of the United Party of Parties, and to the party for which it stands, one party, under party, party, with party and party for all.
Richard, how's it going?
Good.
Good. Oh man, this is exciting. This is, today is March 1st, the day we're recording this. You're Not Alone comes out officially tomorrow.
Well, yeah, but it is East Coast time. It's March 2nd, so it is officially out right now.
That's true. All right. And so, as it's very likely that some of those listening have heard at least a couple of the songs, if not all of them, thanks to NPR's First Listen, where they just kind of rolled the whole thing out beforehand, right?
Yeah, and maybe we should just, if you haven't heard the album yet, like, first of all, just stop this podcast right now and go listen to that album, you dummy, you know?
Yes.
Listen to the album and then come back and we can chat.
Yeah, because I've been listening to the album over and over again since I first heard it. I guess that was like 2 days ago.
I think it was Monday. Was it?
Oh,
I don't know.
Maybe it was Tuesday. But overall, okay, first off, just overall main impression, I really like it. What about you?
Really? Okay, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, I really like it.
And I'm kind of surprised at myself for saying that, because this album has a lot of ballads in it. And I really like the upbeat and frantic, exciting Andrew WK. At least I thought I did. But I don't know. There's just something about the emotions and the messages in these songs that really resonate with me. That isn't to say that there aren't some ballads or some songs that I'm not a huge fan of, that are just a little bit, I don't know, not exciting enough.
Mm-hmm.
But in that respect, like, I was worried.
Is it the song Break the Curse?
Yes, that song I'm not a huge fan of.
Mm-hmm.
The other one I'm not a huge fan of is The Party Never Dies.
Okay.
Feel like there might be one more. Oh, there's Give Up On You. That one has like this intro, give it for you, right?
Yeah.
And then it starts going dun 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 dun. And I was thinking, like, the first time I heard the song, I was like, oh, here we go. Here we go. And then it just goes dun dun dun. And it's like, oh, this is more of a slow pace again.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a. We started off talking about we liked it.
Yeah.
And we quickly went to the things we don't like. So let's get, yeah. I also have critiques. I would say Break the Curse is probably my least favorite as well.
Yeah.
It's 6 minutes and 22 seconds long.
Yeah.
Not to say that I don't appreciate it for what it is. It's just not my favorite on the album.
Right. Well, and so this album has 16 tracks.
Mm-hmm.
There's two of them are just instrumentals, right? The very first song, The Power of Partying, mm-hmm. that doesn't have any lyrics. And then what's the next one? It's towards the end. Confusion.
Beyond Oblivion, yeah.
Beyond Oblivion. So you take those two instruments, and there's three tracks of just like spoken word stuff. And so we're down to 11 tracks then of typical songs with lyrics and everything.
Typical songs.
Which isn't a lot, you know.
It's not a lot. But here's the other thing is the album is even less than that because, well, I shouldn't say less than that. So yeah, you said 11 tracks. Is that what you came up with?
Yeah.
So even like, you know, the song verse, like verse, chorus, kind of typical song structure.
Right.
It's even less than that. I would say there's probably like 9 songs that are kind of like the normal structure. But The Devil's on Your Side and Break the Curse are kind of like these. They have like these. They're almost the last half of those songs are instrumentals as well.
Right. Yeah.
The first half is pretty. They're pretty straightforward. So yeah, there's a lot of. I don't want to say filler. That's the wrong word. There's a lot of. Even though there's 16 tracks on here, they're not your typical, I guess, radio play like song structured.
Right.
In an album.
What do you think of the like the motivational spoken word interludes?
I liked them the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they probably must have been like important messages he wanted to get out, you know, some like important concepts. The thing about it is it's just innately, there's not a lot of like replay factor into that. Right. I'm going to be skipping those tracks every single time I listen through the album now. I mean, I listened to them once and I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Totally.
And yep. then that's it.
Yeah. That's I've never liked when bands do that. On albums whenever, because same thing, I'm always skipping them. First time through it's cool, and I don't know, it's kind of funny, like it's like Andrew was, maybe he was a little too concerned, he was concerned that people weren't getting it, and so he needed to like explicitly say what to get, you know.
Yeah.
But man, this album just comes out like the first 4-5 songs mm-hmm. are just like great. Like the album just starts amazing.
Super strong.
Super strong. Yeah.
The song I Don't Know Anything, that is just dude, that's like my jam now. That song is like the so we talked about this in past podcasts, how like I feared this album, you know, if people are expecting I Get Wet Part 2, then I'm worried that they're going to be totally let down. Yeah. And even a small portion inside me even still wants an I Get Wet Part 2, you know?
Right.
But the bigger part of me wants, this album is like for me, I feel like. I love it. but the I Don't Know Anything song is definitely like I Get Wet worthy, right? It's it totally is. I mean, maybe it doesn't like sound exact same, like the same production, but it's the same type of song. It could go right on that album, I think.
Yeah, I love that song too. And I just like, not only, here's the thing, like I was saying before, kind of like the difference between just the feeling of emotion and excitement with like a really fast paced song, which most of I Get Wet is, but mm-hmm. at least on the surface, the lyrics are mostly pretty shallow, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. The difference here is that I Don't Know Anything has like a message that's also like very fun and rewarding, you know? Like, you know what it's made me think of is like, I don't know if you've heard of these, like, there's like these studies that they do. I don't know how they do this, but like the act of smiling can like have an effect on your emotional state. Have you ever heard of that? Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Or like how, if you like stand up tall, you'll be more confident, or it's like, right. You can like manipulate how you feel by doing things with your body.
Right.
And I feel like I Don't Know Anything, like, usually the concept of being confused and uncertain and just like not understanding or not knowing something is a bad one. Like that has a negative connotation, but it's almost like there's this happiness to it and like levity that just makes it like, it's just so fun to just turn that around on its head, which is like really, I feel like it's becoming Andrew's MO, is just like turning negativity, pessimism around and you know, seeing things through a different lens and using the negativity or setbacks or misunderstanding or not knowing into positives, you know?
Right, right. Well, I can't remember if you pointed it out or if it was an interview that I read, but I think you were the one that talked about like music is worth living for is kind of like uplifting, but also like, what is it? What is he talking about here? Is like, is he suicidal?
Right.
You know, I think you brought that up. So it's like, it's happy, but it's also sad at the same time. And I never connected that until you just said that right now, but I don't know anything. Yeah. Yeah. It's usually a negative thing, but then he immediately says right afterwards, that's all right. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Like he makes you feel okay that it's a bad thing.
Right. And you can just be like dancing and jumping up and down excited and just be like, I don't know anything. Just like, oh man, I was, I keep going to these, telling these stories of listening to music while running on a treadmill.
Oh, okay.
And I listened to this whole thing this morning on the treadmill and man, it was just so much fun. I was just pumped throughout the day.
Did you make it through the whole thing?
No, I jumped tracks a little bit here and there, but man, was I on like a positive spring in my step throughout the day. The other song that's like that is The Devil's on Your Side. Do you like that one?
Well, okay, actually, no. Devil's on Your Side and Break the Curse is some of my least favorite ones. So tell me why you liked Devil's on Your Side.
Yeah, so I really like this. It's like the same kind of contrary message. And it's just like how the devil's on your side, meaning that the bad things that happen to you are for your benefit. And so all the lyrics are just talking about how everything that the devil is doing to you or the negative things that happen to you are all for your good and there's no way you can get away from them. And so be thankful that the devil's on your side because he's the one who's pushing you to become better and you should be grateful and happy and embrace it and be excited about it.
There is like this insane part in that song with like the drums and the keyboard. Uh-huh. It like kicks it into really fast. And I like, that's like amazing sounding. It's like, can we play songs while like, can you hear?
I don't know what rules are about podcasts and playing songs on them.
Can you hear that though?
No, are you playing music right now? I can't hear it.
Oh, okay. Anyway, it does. Yeah, it's not one of my favorite songs, but it has ironically one of my favorite parts.
Oh yeah.
But the drums in this album are like, I don't know, maybe I'm just like really into drums right now or something, but the drums in this album are like, they blow me away. They sound better than on any other Andrew WK album. On like, I like the, just they're like powerful. They're like the way they recorded them. I don't know how they did it, but I feel like I'm right there playing the drums.
Yeah.
I'm personally playing those drums.
Yeah.
And they sound, I Get Wet, you know, had a huge production budget, I bet. And The Wolf, you know, also Island Records, but the drums here sound amazing.
Yeah, I think the whole album sounds really good. Like, he really spends a lot of time layering lots and lots of sounds so that it's just like this huge symphonic orchestraic kind of like wall of sound, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I really like that.
It's dope. The song Total Freedom.
Yeah.
It's, man, there's so many songs you could probably like compare that to. And Andrew probably would like hate that because, you know, as an artist, I'm sure you're just coming up with stuff. You're not like trying to mimic somebody else. But like, it's just natural for us to like try to put context and make sense of these things.
So before you say it, there's a song that I thought of the first time I heard that song. And I'm really interested to see if you thought it was the same song as I did, so keep going.
For Total Freedom? Is that
what we're talking about?
Okay, maybe, because I feel like there's a lot of songs that you could like project onto this song, but the Who, Teenage Wasteland, like the opening.
Okay.
And then it's the voice in the beginning is very like Neil Diamond-ish.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking of the song Come Sail Away by the Styx.
Oh, yeah. See that opening that... Yeah, that's yeah, the it's same got like as the, it's got Teenage like Wasteland. The
electronic flute.
Yeah, so that's along the same lines.
And I love that song, Come Sail Away. And so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, both of those songs are awesome.
So Total Freedom is like a great song.
And actually, the messaging, or like that probably has my favorite message out of any of the...
Yeah.
Out of any of this tracks.
I agree. So when you look at this album as a whole, thematically or the way it sounds, or like, how is this album different, or how has it progressed or moved from the previous albums?
So it's not I Get Wet, part two. And I think what this is, the way I've thought about it, is this is almost like that follow-up album to The Wolf. Even though Close Calls with Brick Walls came out like 3 years later after The Wolf. Uh-huh. But Close Calls with Brick Walls was like kind of experimental, right? Like it was, there was like different sounds and like totally just not what we had ever heard or expected. Like The Wolf was different, yes, but it was still like within, it played this by the same rules, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas Close Calls with Brick Walls, it kind of, it just did its own thing. It did whatever it wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it for what it is. I like that album. But this album is more like, yeah, like the follow-up to The Wolf. It's not really, I mean, even though he does new things, I wouldn't say it's like experimental in the same way that Close Calls with Brick Walls was. It still plays by like the same rules as I Get Wet and The Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it's the same and different, but
I feel like it's really like he's really like sunk into his like thematic and like the deeper meaning of Party in this larger like world of Party in this album. Mm-hmm. You know, like really, and like with the spoken word tracks and stuff, he's like really driving it in that like this isn't just, you know, brain dead partying, but this is like a whole, I don't know, belief system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's even deep. I mean, people liked that about The Wolf, and this is even like it's almost, I wouldn't say okay, so like the I Get What album, there was a lot of like subtext to that album of like sexuality stuff.
Right.
Right. This album, there's a lot of like subtext of, I would say, I don't know if you would say Christian, but like religious things in this album.
Mm-hmm.
He says, and I don't know anything, he says, I don't know the Christ. I don't know how to pray.
Right.
He says, there's, you know, obviously the devil's on your side. There's just like a lot of, The Party Never Dies. He talks about, a child is born and, you know, there's just a lot of like religious references. And I thought that was, interesting.
Yeah.
You know, in Music's Worth Living For, he's calling down God mm-hmm. from like a lightning rod. So, which is definitely not ever anything that's mentioned in The Wolf or I Get Wet. Not that that's not who he was or what he was about at that time. It's just sometimes you can't fit all that into an album. So
yeah.
This was the manifestation of something. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it yet, but I just noticed that theme throughout it.
I get the feeling that Andrew has been through some stuff. Like, he's had some hard times and he's had to claw his way out of some depression or some big setbacks or perceived or real or otherwise. Like, he's like really portraying this idea of overcoming the odds and, you know, fighting back the demons and that kind of thing.
Right. If it's, what do they call it? Autobiographical?
Yeah.
If it is that, then yeah, that's definitely, but yeah, I mean, when you're putting that out there, when you're putting an album out there like this, you have to know that that's what people are going to think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if it's not autobiographical, it's what people are going to think about you.
I mean, the, oh yeah, overall, it's just like this very, it's like the, like we've said before, like the Anthony Robbins of like rock and roll, like this, like, motivational self-help rock music.
You know what's weird though? It was like, it's, again, there's like this weird polarizing, like, thing going on with this album though, because even though it is, it has those things in it, man, I like don't feel super like light and like lighthearted as I'm going through some of this album, especially with The Devil's on Your Side and Break the Curse. I feel like I'm like Frodo taking the One Ring through Mordor, and it's just like weighing on me, you know? It's like this, ooh, you know, boom, boom, boom. I'm yeah. like, whoa, this is so intense. And like, just like this, it's like I'm in the ocean and like these waves just keep crashing down on me. That's what a lot of this album felt like. And, it's at the end of it though, I felt triumphant, you know, it was like this, I felt like I accomplished something, but I'm exhausted afterwards at the same time. Whereas like, sometimes, you know, other I Get Wet is like more like you're drinking battery acid and you can run through a brick wall.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're like, I'm invincible, you know, I can do anything. This is, I don't want to say sludged. You don't like sludge through the album, but it just is, it just like hammers you with the sound. It's very, intense the way it sounds. There's some light parts. Party Mindset is kind of a fun song.
It's a little on the silly side.
Yep. It's silly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's something, maybe the word is like cathartic, you know, like listening through the album, it's almost as if you like, vicariously go through these ranges of emotions, so that by the end of it, you do have that exhausted feeling, because it's like you really went through it. You really felt the ups and the downs, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that is a good feeling, just because it's not like maybe like a naive positivity. It's positivity because you've like experienced all these things.
Yeah. Or like a Red Bull caffeine high.
Yeah. You're just like, man, I went through some stuff when I went through that album. But you came out of it, you know, better, yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
So I've thought about that. So you said you, because sometimes I do listen to I Get Wet to like, it's kind of like my get shit together album where like, you know, I got to focus. I'm going to get some, I got energy. I can draw upon this. Yeah. It's like a awesome go-to just to like change your physiology, kind of like what you referenced earlier. This album, I've wondered, and it's too soon to tell, I think, because I'm still digesting it. I've wondered if I'll be able to rely on this album like I have with I Get Wet and The Wolf. I feel like I'm still able to even do that with The Wolf, but I've wondered if I will be able to on this album. But you said you have ran and worked out to it?
I did, yeah, this morning. And it was a lot of fun. Totally, yeah, I think like, I mean, music is worth living for, Ever Again, I Don't Know Anything. Those just push you right off the gate into like really fun, exciting songs. And then Give Up On You is just like, it's kind of like this, put your head down and you're like, you march like, yeah. Or not give up, I mean, keep on going.
Mm-hmm.
and you're just like keep on, you know, she's just like going and going. And then I think Total Freedom then is just kind of this like I don't know, even like therapeutic kind of song. It's just like, it's a wild, that Total Freedom's a wild song.
Yeah, it is. you know what's interesting though about Give Up On You is the title of the song is totally not what the song is about, because the title kind of leads you on to think that someone is going to give up on you. But he says, I won't give up on you.
Right.
And so like the, it's kind of like the Wolf song, Never Let Down. Never. It's like all about, you know, I'm never going to break your heart. You know, I'm never going to let you. So this song is like very similar themes. I felt like, you know, it's all about reaching out to somebody and lifting them up. And so that I love that, that message in that song for that reason. The very beginning is like almost like a church choir sound.
Yeah, I like the beginning.
So, but yeah, Keep On Going is actually, I like the messaging in Give Up On You probably more, but I like the way the song sounds of Keep On Going even more.
Than yeah, my big sister is like, this whole year she's in some kind of like nurse school.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like overwhelmed because she has two kids and she's going through like this nursing program. So she has to pass all these tests and I don't know. So I sent her an email. I was like, I sent her an email and the subject line was keep on going. And then I wrote, Dana, quick, listen to track 9 and keep on going or something. And then I sent it to her. And then she brought me back today. She's like, thank you. I listened and I am ready to keep on going. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. See? Yeah. Boom.
Instant.
So what do you think about this album, like success-wise? Do you think that this album will, how should I frame this question? There's different kinds of success, I feel like, in the music industry. But what do you think about the, will this put Andrew's name back on the map again?
I kind of feel like it's unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, there's like a whole history with Andrew WK that you kind of
and that's to... all right. That's okay.
You know, it's like this history of Andrew WK that you kind of have to understand to really get a lot out of this. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if it's kind of like all of Andrew WK stuff. It's like you either you get it or you don't get it, and I feel like this is harder to get.
Mm, okay.
I'm not sure if that's accurate. It just seems like
it's difficult to say out loud, isn't it?
You kind of you have to stick with it a little bit more. It's not cotton candy like I Get Wet is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like instantly like, oh, this would go great to a Cheetos commercial with kids skateboarding.
Right. So I feel like it is, I feel like it is easy to get, but the environment won't get it. So we're probably saying the same thing, but in a different way. So I just feel like the industry or like the pulse of the music industry, is not suitable for this type of music in 2018, but that doesn't make it not amazing. At the same time. So like, I think that there is, I guess what I'm trying to say is like, it's not going to go mainstream. Like it's not right. going to get tons of radio play. It's not going to be a household name or album, but I don't think that matters. And I don't think that that's what, was even like, expected or considered when making this album. And I'm sure that has to be like things, you know, these people think about. So
yeah,
not that. So I think you can still have success though, within the realm of not being mainstream and not having radio play as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know what I was thinking is that you kind of have to let down your guard to enjoy it. Like what we were talking about last time about suspending your disbelief.
So you're talking more about like critical reception, like how people, not so much the commercial side, but you're talking more about like critics being able to get it.
Yeah, or yeah, kind of anybody really. I mean, you have to just be, you have to let yourself enjoy it as opposed to thinking that it's too, I don't know the word, vapid, or it's just like this, it's cheesy or something. Because I think it's not cheesy, but I think there are people who would want to call it cheesy.
Yeah, I can see that. I agree with that. It's
because he's like almost over the top with like some of the sounds and the emotion and the swelling of orchestra and like the breadth of the sound and how big it is. And he's singing about like, you know, partying and total freedom, or I don't know, like these things that just kind of are gaudy or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to just like sit back and enjoy that instead of being too judgmental from the get-go, or else it's just going to seem like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that makes any sense.
How about the this sound? We talked about that a little bit. Did you do anything with like the first time you went through the album, and what was the setup? What were you doing?
I listened to it on I have these over the ear headphones, and sitting in my comfy chair. And that's how I listened to it, in my office.
Okay.
At home.
Oh, at home, okay. Yeah. So you waited.
Yeah, I listened to some songs, but I didn't listen from beginning to end all the way through until I got home.
Okay.
What about you?
So I listened on over the ear headphones that I have, and I don't know what it was about, because I really like these headphones, but I didn't notice until afterwards, because I took off on Monday, actually. So I woke up in the morning and I saw the NPR thing, and I was like, I'm not going to work today. So I called it. I called in. And so I got in my car and I listened to the whole album on my headphones. And yeah, it just sounded like kind of muddy or something. It's almost like there's like too much going on. I don't know. So then I listened to the album, took off my headphones, and then I listened to it again, but like driving around in my car, and I liked it a whole bunch more the second time. Like the car just let it breathe a little bit more or something.
Uh-huh.
And like you said at the beginning of the podcast, you've listened to it a bunch throughout this week. So I think what's cool about music like this is like there's like these different phases of consuming it, because the first time you're just like trying to figure it out, and it's just like this whole new thing. But I think this is true with in general, but when I started listening to it, actually it was just last night, I started learning I think the trick is the words, like the lyrics, once you can like kind of start to sing along with it,
mm-hmm.
is when it really like unlocks things on the album. Because I mean, the radio industry, like everybody knows this in the radio industry, like the familiar songs, like if you know a song that comes on the radio, you're like, oh, I know this song. And it's like exciting because you didn't pick it on your iPod. The radio picked it, and it's like, oh my goodness, like the music gods knew I like this, but that's totally not the case. They know exactly what they're doing. Anyway, so they're repeating like the same songs all day long, right?
Yeah.
And they're trying to hook you. And so, you know, with this album, I'm listening to it, and then it's starting to become familiar, and it's like getting better, you know, because now I know it. It's like mine. They're like my songs now.
Right.
And so last night I was listening to I don't know anything while I was going through Taco Bell drive through. And dude, it was just like, I cranked that thing so loud. And it's like, oh, I love that song so much now. I love the whole album because of that effect.
Uh-huh.
I'm stoked.
Yeah.
I can't wait till tomorrow. I'm getting, you know, the lyric book that comes with the CD. It'll have all the lyrics and stuff. So I'm excited to learn it more, I guess.
Right. I'm excited for him to come around again. He's got to be. I wonder if he's going to go like on a tour in the summer or another time this year.
Well, he is doing like an East Coast and UK tour, I think, starting up here pretty soon. I'm sure he's going to come, you know, reboot it and do a whole West Coast or international tour again after that. But that's an interesting idea too, because how will these songs be live? Like when you have it up against, you know, the I Get Wet album that everyone already knows, and or like some of the Wolf songs, and then you put some of these songs next to it, like that'll change the dynamic of the concert, I'm sure.
Right. Yeah, it'll be exciting to hear a lot of these songs live.
So, okay, if we're doing like Dragon Heads for our rating system, you know, based off the album cover, 10 out of 10 Dragon Heads.
based off of the album cover.
Like, how many Dragon Heads are you giving it?
How many Dragon Heads? On a scale of 1 to 10 Dragon Heads, I'd give it a 8 or a 7, maybe a 7.5.
Okay. I'm going to give it a... See, this is also tricky because, man, it's... I've been living off of the table scraps of I Get Wet for years and years. I've had so much time to like think about it. Yeah. And I've had like a few days to think about this album. So it's hard to like, I don't want to come to any conclusion because I come back and listen to this.
Who am I kidding?
I'm never going to come back and listen to this. But I'm going to give it. You did a half, right? Maybe sure. I'll do an 8.5 or not. I'll just do 8.5 for now. Yeah. Ugh.
If the album had another I Don't Know Anything kind of song somewhere in it towards the middle, or maybe more than a couple more of those upbeat, like more familiar, what I would consider like the typical NWK song, it would have gotten closer to like an 8.5 like you. But because it has like this middle section of the album that just kind of slows down, it's just, I don't know, it's not everything I imagined it could be.
Yeah. Well, see, I think mine will go up because, like I said, I feel like I'm just starting to unlock it because I'm learning the songs more and more.
Right.
So I think mine will actually get up to more like a 9 when all is said and done. But for now, I'm going to say 8.5.
Pretty good.
So we got a lot to chew on with this album.
We do.
Yeah. This podcast is not over.
I'd like to dig into, some of these songs and to like extrapolate their meanings and go broad and deep.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
We're going to keep on going.
Yes, we are.
Cool. Well, thanks, Zach.
Thanks you, Richard.
For this chat.
We'll see you next time.
All right, see ya.